You want to show that people are engaged with the content. And this is where things get, once again, people can fudge numbers, where if you go to somebody and they have an engagement rate of 10%, you're like, oh my God, this guy's crushing it. This girl's crushing it. You go and look at it and they have 1,000 emojis. That's not engagement, right? So you can, from software standpoint, an emoji is engagement.
You want actual communication, people talking back and forth, the influencer responding, people asking
questions. Right. That's the thing. And that's when we talk about the, when I said I'd rather have somebody at 5 or 10,000 or 15,000 than a million.
Yeah.
That's where the engagement rate stays higher because, Joe, what I would look at is, Joe, the influencer, what I want is that if people are asking questions and you get 20 questions, there should be 20 answers by Joe.
Welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Since 2007, Quiet Light Brokerage has been helping thousands of online entrepreneurs realize their dream of buying and selling online businesses. And now, we're bringing all the knowledge our team has acquired straight to you. No matter your niche or industry, these lessons, tips, and strategies will help you build, grow, acquire, or sell your online businesses better. And now, here's Joe and Mark.
So this past weekend, I was at Rhodium Week. We've talked a lot about Rhodium here on the podcast, and it was out in Las Vegas. And somebody that we know, somebody who's been on the podcast, Shaquille Praza, a good friend of Quiet Light Brokerage, happened to run into another Shaquille, Shaquille O'Neal. And he has a great photo of himself on Facebook with Shaquille O'Neal. And he told me, he said that, you know, a lot of people were vying for his attention. And so Shaquille just shouted out. He said, hey, we share the same name. And sure enough, that caught his attention. And then, you know, resulted in Shaquille, our friend, having a picture with Shaq. Really, really cool. It's always fun to be able to reach out to people who are well-known and have some influence. And obviously, this is something we can definitely use in business as well. There's a whole area of this in business and marketing called influencer marketing. Something I haven't done a lot of. Joe, have you done much influencer marketing?
You do it all the time, Mark. You just did it. You just did it for Rhodium Weekend. How many people have signed up for Rhodium Weekend, gone to Chris's Centurica.com website for due diligence because you're an influencer and you talk about it?
That's okay, but I'm not on the same level of Shaq, so, you know.
I don't know.
I'm definitely not as big as Shaq. In more ways than one, I'm not as big as Shaq. as a big dude. I've seen companies use influencer marketing before, and it's crazy the impact it can have on your business when you find the right mix.
Well, you know, a lot of folks think influencer marketing is, I've had a couple of listings where Dr. Oz mentioned the product or the ingredient and revenue went, you know, sort of skyrocketed. I sold one earlier this year where the product was named one of Oprah's favorite things. That's like the golden ring. That was back in like 2008, and they still get traffic and revenue from it, and it's 2018. So that is what a lot of people think about in regards to influencer marketing, like you and Shaq. You know, and by the way, Shaquille, call out. That was a great photo. Thank you for that. I showed my kids. But that's not really just the influencer marketing that I think a lot of our audience should be thinking about. We've talked about it all the time. When you've got multiple channels of revenue, multiple channels of traffic, it brings the risk that you're going to lose business down and increases the value of your business. Lower the risk, the higher the value. Influencer marketing should be another channel. The next generation of buyers, people, they're my kids. I have two teenage boys. I cannot get them off of Instagram watching videos. My son, 17 years old, he learns everything. The computer I'm on right now, he learned how to build it on YouTube through influencers. They're all about influencer marketing. So the next generation is going to be just that. We had Shane Barker on the podcast. That's who you're about to hear, folks. He's a UCLA professor. He teaches a class on influencer marketing at UCLA. He's a consultant and he helps people. He'll take over their campaigns and he'll just tell you how to do it. He had some great advice in terms of tools to use to track your influencer engagement, how to find them, how to measure their success, and what to do in terms of maybe interviewing them and negotiating with them and writing up contracts with influencers and all these different things. The one thing I didn't touch upon was workload, but he said that when you frame it up right and you do, you put the right package together in terms of your plan through a consultant so you don't waste a whole lot of money, it can then be handed off to a VA who should be able to run with it fairly easily.
That's pretty cool. So is this going to help me get Shaq to start promoting Quiet Light?
Shaquille O'Neal, not Shaquille O'Neal, but Shaquille Presley. Yes, he's already an influencer.
You know what?
Ambassador is what he is.
I would rather have Shaquille Prosla. Actually, that's kind of a lie. Sorry, Shaquille. So, all right, let's get to it. This is actually a huge topic. I know this is going to be like the next big thing in marketing. And it's one of those areas that people don't really know a lot about. Some people are doing it well. They're making a lot of money because of it. They're building the brands because of it. It'd be great to unlock this. So why don't we go ahead and listen to what Shane has to say. Oh, you have something else.
And I do. You've got to think about it. Just like an Amazon-sponsored ad campaign, just like your content development for SEO, just like your Google AdWords campaign, you've got to run an influencer campaign the same way, and Shane really talks about that in detail. So let's go to it.
Awesome.
Hey, everyone. It's Joe Valley from Quiet Light Brokerage. Today, we're going to talk about influencer marketing with Shane Barker. Shane Barker is an expert in the space. How are you doing today, Shane?
Doing awesome, Joe. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. You know, back in my day, there was no influencer marketing. It was pay-per-click and write good content and Google will reward you. Of course, my day wasn't that long ago. I sold my business back in 2010, but the world has changed dramatically since then, and it constantly changed, and you're on top of that and you're at the forefront of it, which is one of the reasons, and I'm going to call it out right now, why you haven't written a book about it yet, because it's constantly changing, right?
Yeah, that's the deal. We talked about it a little bit before the podcast started. It's the thing is it is an evolving space, right? I mean, it started off, you know, back in the day, and I say back in the days, we kind of joke around about that because we've been doing this for a while. But you know, it's really word of mouth marketing, right? Which, you know, back in the day, the presentations that I do, I always talk about, like, as an example, would be like Tupperware. Right. Like that was kind of like Helen, who was the lady that, you know, she would have these parties and have everybody over. And she was influential in the area because everybody loved Helen. She was a great wife and she had beautiful little kids running around. Everybody wanted to be like Helen and it all come through. They have a few drinks and next thing they're buying Tupperware. Right. So it's that influential type thing. That's how it kind of all started. And then, you know, and then obviously we evolved to, you know, Beats by Dre and some other ones like that, where you see this, you know, people wearing the headphones and they would go and give them the free product. And, you know, you see all these athletes that are wearing this stuff. And, you know, I mean, obviously they sold to, I don't know, it was like $3 or $4 billion to Apple. So, you know,
I guess it's been around a while because, you know, celebrities have been endorsing products for years, for decades.
Absolutely.
And get paid for it. So that's influencer marketing right there. Let's do this. So Shane, I didn't tell you before we started recording, we don't do fancy introductions. Obviously we're a couple of minutes in already. Yeah. Can you tell those folks that are listening about your background, what you do, how you do it, and where you come from?
Yeah, absolutely. So I reside out of Sacramento, California, but I'm in Los Angeles quite a bit because I teach at UCLA. I teach a class called Personal Branding and How to Be an Influencer. It's a quarterly system. So I do how to be an influencer on one side and the other side and how to work with influencers. We work with brands down there as well. So yeah, so I've been in the digital space for, you know, 20 something years. Really jumped in the digital space because I had my own business. So it was one of those like, hey, I want to bootstrap this thing. And I didn't have a lot of capital. This was a long time ago. I had a company called HotPad that I had a patent on, had a reusable heat pack. And I had a co-patent on it. And so I had to do everything. I had to do the logo. I had to do the website. I mean, this was probably 15 plus years ago. So we were jumping on the internet. There really was no SEO. We put something up and something went on the first page. We didn't know how it happened or what happened. We were just excited that that was happening. There was no, like, you know, there was just nothing. There was not a lot of software. There was, you know, we were grinding this thing out and it was, you know, kind of wild, wild west. And so I jumped into it and was working this one's been probably 15 years ago on called getafreelancer.com. And now it's freelancer.com. So I was saying, hey, listen, I want to manage projects and I want to go and work with people that know how to do these certain things that I didn't necessarily know how to do. I was in, at that time I was in school and I'd already owned my own businesses. I'd owned a bar and I'd done some stuff. It took me 10 years to graduate, not because I wasn't smart. Well, I don't know, maybe because I wasn't smart, but maybe the bigger the reason was is because I wanted to travel and do this and I had my own businesses. So I jumped into that. And like I said, for about 10 years, I owned a bar and did some other fun stuff, all offline type businesses. And then when I was doing HotPad, the reusable heat pack company, I decided to go back to school. And that's when I really started doing outsourcing and kind of figuring out how to work with other people. And I've been doing that ever since. I mean, right now I have a 31 person team that's all over the world. I don't have them. Yeah. I have all like project management software and all that fun stuff in place. And so I have like where I'm doing this interview today is I have an office here in Sacramento. It's strictly for content creation, right? For us putting content together. And my team is once again, all over the place. So it's kind of awesome. So that's kind of catapults me at once again, where I'm at today. We do heavy content marketing. We do heavy influencer marketing. And I'll kind of talk about my story a little later about like how I jumped into influencer marketing and all that, but I consider myself myself a, you know, like a brand and an influencer specialist, and then also a digital strategist, because it's just, that's what I've done for so long. When, you know, started off on SEO and then did obviously a lot of social stuff, and now we do influencer marketing. We're always trying to, the new stuff that comes along, it always seems to knock on my door, whether I want to do something new or not, right, when it comes to marketing. So that's kind of where I'm at today.
Well, our audience are full of people just like you and people that want to be like you, those that are leaving the corporate world. For influencer marketing, I want to go through some of the steps that you teach in the class at UCLA and the process. But let's first define it. What exactly is influencer marketing in your view?
Yeah, so influencer marketing, and we touched on it a little bit earlier, is, you know, in the back of the day, was influencer marketing was not called influencer marketing, but really it was working with celebrities and getting somebody that had some kind of influence because they're an actor, a celebrity, a singer, something like that. And you would ask them to endorse your product, but usually it was for the, you know, the Nikes, the Toyotas, these bigger brands, because you had to have a big budget, right? And the idea was, is that you were going to do some kind of a commercial, maybe sometimes radio, but mainly a commercial, where you would go and you, this person would say, oh my God, I have this kind of car, this. So I love my, whatever, my Scion, I love my Toyota, I love my Nike shoes, whatever, right? Usually bigger budgets. And once again, somebody that has really, really high influence. Well, the last, you know, let's say 5, 6, 7 years, we've seen this switch of where really anybody can have influence, right? You don't have to be an actor. You don't have to be a famous person to do this. And you'll see this obviously on YouTube, Instagram, Snap, sometimes on Twitter, and then on Facebook as well. The idea is that an influencer is anybody that has influence over their sphere, over their community, right? So as an example, you, Joe, obviously are an influencer because you have influence over your podcast and what we have here, right? So that makes you an influencer because people follow you. They listen to your podcast religiously and they go and they get great information from it and they go and apply that in the real world. So if you were to say, hey, you guys, this is some software that I use and I've used it for the last 6 months, I've tested, it's absolutely awesome, then guess what? Probably a lot of people in your podcast are going to go, hey, that sounds like an awesome product. If Joe uses it, then I should use it, right? And so everybody has this type of influence. And we look at this of as Instagram as an example. I look at people, let's say you have 5,000 followers or 10,000, and people go, well, are those influencers? They absolutely are. I mean, if I have 5,000 or 10,000 heavily engaged audience, I would much rather work with that person. Let's as an example, yoga mat. I'm a yoga instructor, and you're selling yoga, you know, whatever equipment or something. And so you come to me, I would much rather work with a yoga instructor that has a 5 or 10,000 following that's heavily engaged than somebody who has 1 million or 2 million or 5 million. Because really at the end of the day, what in the beginning of influencer marketing was like, hey, I want to go with the people with the highest following, right? If they have 1 million followers, like that's who I have to work with because of the fact that look at all those eyeballs, right? But the issue is this, and we all realize this, you know, through marketing is that back in the day, it was like, if I can get 1 million visitors, that'd be awesome. It's not the amount of visitors, it's the quality of the visitors, right? The type of traffic that you're getting from that. It's the same thing with influencer marketing. You want to really niche down and find the person that is really going to be best for your product. Mm-hmm. The reason why, and we'll go into this later, but the reason why there's these issue with influencers and fake followers is because brands were paying influencers on the amount of followers they had, right? So you get a situation where they say, Shane, if you have 10,000 followers, I'll give you $1,000. If you get 25,000, I'll give you 2,000. But if you have 100,000, my friend, I'll give you 10 grand. And then guess what happens? An influencer goes, man, how do I get to that quicker, right? How do I get to that mark faster? Because obviously I'm double, tripling, quadrupling my money. Well, then what happens is now they're doing something where they're adding fake followers and doing some stuff that's, you know, obviously unethical to be able to get to that next price point.
How do you measure engagement over followers?
Yeah, that's the deal. So, you know, and it's funny when you talk about back in the day, because it literally, when I talk to people at influencer marketing, I always talk about back in the day, and it makes it sound like we're like 100 or something. Like I went to school with like Jesus or something, or Moses, or like I was on the boat or something. But, you know, for us, it's like, when I look at this, like we were doing influencer marketing 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was no software, right? So there was nothing out there to really, I mean, what we would really do is we would go and try to find these influencers by search, like go on Instagram and look up hashtags and stuff like that, which is still relevant today. You can still do that today, obviously. And we would go, we put these profiles together and I would manually go look at them because that was it. Like that was, you know, the engagement for me was not necessarily a number, but it was more, we ended up coming up with an equation over time that we looked at of followers, engagements, likes, and stuff like that. So we had a little bit of an equation or some kind of, we'll call it an algorithm because it wasn't that crazy, but where we would go and take a look at that. And we would just have these Excel spreadsheets that I would just take tons of notes and, you know, we would do all this kind of crazy stuff. Now there's plenty of software, right? There's all kinds of softwares you can use. And we use Grin is one of them that we use that you can do. There's you know, clear.com, which is with a K. There's NeoReach, there's RevFluent. I mean, there's all kinds of them, right? There's all kinds of different ones that you can go. Some of them are free, some of them will cost. I have, I mean, I'm very fortunate in the sense that I have access to almost all the softwares because they want me to look at their software and evaluate it and stuff. So I'm very blessed in that sense.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, it's so funny. I'm very humble about that. And I don't think of myself as an influencer, but over time, you know, you start to realize you're like, well, I guess I am an influencer. You know, I'm just not, I don't know. I just don't think of myself that way. And like when I go to conferences and speak and do stuff, it's interesting when people come up to me like, I've been following you for a long time. And it's always really, it really kind of shocks me. We're like, while walking somewhere, and I'm not that famous by any means, but well, they'll come up and say, you Shane Barker? And there's been a few times I'm like, God, do I owe you money? Are you Visa? Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to figure it out. Right. It's like this weird, so, yeah. You know, an influencer, I'm on the come up, I guess, and things are good. And I've got some good foundation and people are following me. So I'm not mad at that by any means, but
that's good. You know, so this software, you know, does it help you measure the engagements and does it go that deep? What does this like grin and
it does. So this is the thing you have to look at when it comes to engagement. This is the key. And when you talk about software, so software is that first level, right? So the first level of when you're going in, you take a look at it, you can put in hashtags, you can put in keywords, you can do this kind of stuff. So let's say it's yoga, right? That's the thing I'm looking for. And let's say I can sell these yoga mats all over the world. So it doesn't necessarily have to be in Los Angeles or Las Vegas or something. So I go all over the world. So what I do is I can curate these lists, right? You can go take a look at them. You add them to whatever, some kind of a folder or, you know, whatever it is. You pull those people in, that's the first step. And it'll say the engagement. It'll say, hey, their engagement is 3.5% or 5.6%. And software is the first step, right? That's where you're curating the list. You're saying, hey, okay, I want to find 10 good influencers. So I'm going to curate a list of 100 or 200, whatever. And then the next step to this whole thing is software is lovely, but influencers, once again, because they want to make money. And I'm not saying all influencers are this way, but well, they all probably want to make money, but there's ways to fudge your numbers. Right. So that's what we have to look at. I can go on to Fiverr right now and I can add any picture on Instagram. I can get 10,000 likes for $5, $10, whatever the number is.
Right.
And that's not engagement. Right. I mean, somebody like if you came into my store, well, let's take this offline. I own a store and Joe, you came in, you knocked in and you said, hey, Shane, I was wondering, do you guys have this? And I just went, that's not engagement, right? You're like, okay, so Shane, no, so say that again. So what do you have this? So I'm looking for this.
And I go, he just gave us the thumbs up.
Oh, the thumbs up. That's right. I forgot. We go audio and video on this. So the issue with that is that's not engagement, right? Engagement is like, oh, hey, Joe, thanks for coming in my shop. If you're looking for these blue widgets, then you want to go over here. Or let me show you some of the blue widgets are cool, but the yellow widgets are the ones I think you need because of this, this, and this. So that's where we kind of get this thing of where the software is awesome. Go take a look at it. But engagement is conversation, right? So if I'm a yoga instructor and or a brand and you're a yoga instructor, either way, either, you know, vice versa, then right. What I should do as a brand, I should go look at your profile and find out, first of all, how many other sponsorships you've had, right? We don't want somebody that has a new sponsorship every day because the audience is going to be feel a little unauthentic, right?
So, you don't want somebody that has a new sponsorship every day. You want somebody.
No, because think about that. Like, this is the thing. It's like dating. If you wanted to date a girl that's had a new boyfriend every day for the last 15 years, like you got to think, well, there's got to be something wrong with that, right? Like it's not, the numbers aren't working. They're not, you know, you really want to develop, if you're a brand, you want to develop a longer relationship with an influencer. But if they're talking about something every day, the problem is, then you get to a situation where people start to go, okay, is Joe the influencer really like this product or is he just doing this for money, right? Because it just doesn't feel like we want Joe the influencer that says, listen, I've tried this product for 3 months. You guys, you know, I don't promote tons of products. This is a product that I've used. It's absolutely awesome. And this is why I'm promoting it.
Okay.
Right.
And so you want to be authentic. You're going to look at that engagement percentage and you're going to focus to see if they've had lots of different advertisers on a regular basis. Back to that engagement percentage, though, Shane, you had said, you know, 4 or 5%. What do they have? What is a good percentage? And I mean, people talk about open rates and things of that nature and in email campaigns. What is a good engagement percentage for people that are just starting off? What would they look at for a good number?
I would probably say like probably 3 to 5% is a good engagement rate. I mean, anything higher than that is awesome. Okay. And here's another thing. We talk about that engagement rate because I'll touch on this as well, is you have to look at the comments, right? So we have this list of, let's say it's 100 influencers. Okay. Let's say I'm looking for 10 great ones. You want to go through, you want to look at their profile. Hey, look, if they've done 1,000 sponsorships, then I would go away from them. Or you look at the engagement, but you want to look at what people are asking for. Like, hey, Joe, the yoga instructor. Hey, I want to know, it looks like you're using that new mat or you're using a new water bottle, whatever. Like, where did you get that? Or, hey, Joe, like when you come into town or, hey, this, like, right. You want to show that people are engaged with the content. And this is where things get, once again, people can fudge numbers, where if you go to somebody and they have an engagement rate of 10%, you're like, oh my God, this guy's crushing it. This girl's crushing it. You go and look at it and they have 1,000 emojis. That's not engagement, right? So you can, from software standpoint, an emoji is engagement.
You want actual communication, people talking back and forth, the influencer responding, people asking
questions. Right. That's the thing. And that's when we talk about the, when I said I'd rather have somebody at 5 or 10,000 or 15,000 than a million.
Yeah.
That's where the engagement rate stays higher because, Joe, what I would look at is, Joe, the influencer, what I want is that if people are asking questions and you get 20 questions, there should be 20 answers by Joe. Right, Joe, you should be going in there and saying, hey, right, because that's engagement. That's showing that you have an engaged audience. When you get to the, I'll use Kim Kardashian as an example, you get 20, 30, 50 million, they're not responding to anybody for the most part because they can't physically do all that, right? And so the engagement rate is a lot less. You have your audience that's, you get eyeballs. So if you're Coca-Cola, you're going to say, hey, I'll go with Kim because I know that she's going to get eyeballs. I don't really care about the engagement. I'm looking at overall exposure and they've got a big budget. If I'm a brand, you really want to go take a look at that and say, who's on the come up, right? They don't have to have a million followers, but who's engaged? Who seems to be really into it? What's a good product alignment? You're at this, is your product and this influencer going to align correctly? And then what I do, and this is a big one, a lot of people don't do this. I interview all the influencers. I do a call just like you're doing here, Joe. I get on there and I say, hey, Jennifer, I've got XYZ product. I usually have some questions and I say, so tell me a little bit about yourself, who you've worked with. They should have some kind of a media kit. So there's some first steps that we take. And then I go, so tell me a little bit, what have you looked into in regards to the XYZ company? And they go, I haven't looked into it, but I know that you guys are offering $1,000 a post. So I was interested.
Right.
Okay. Well,
and that's the thing I was just going to ask actually. So thank you. You went there. How do you track this? What does it cost? I mean, people do sponsored ads in Amazon. They do Google AdWords. It's a clear, defined cost per click. What is it typically cost per engagement, I guess, or per influencer if they've got a 3% engagement and 5,000 followers?
Yeah. That's the thing is that it's, everything is negotiable. So this is where it becomes a little harder, right? Because you do, if you're going after the keyword, you know, Sacramento DUI attorney, you know that it's $3 per click, right? It's very easy. Right. If you're going after Amazon, they have a model that they put in place to be able to understand, you know, once again, how popular it is and what they're going to charge.
Yeah.
Influencer marketing is different because you're dealing, each influencer is different. Each influencer in theory should own their own company or is their own brand, right? So what you do, I mean, there's certain websites and stuff and calculators you can go to and kind of what you think would be fair. But what I always tell people is this, and the analogy I use is like, let's say if I have a Babe Ruth signed baseball card, right? And everybody tells me, all the big guys go, hey man, that's worth $1 million, Shane. Guaranteed $1 million. There's only two of those out there. Yours is in mint condition, it's worth $1 million. And I go, well, I'm gonna wait to get $1 million. And then Joe, you come to me and say, hey Shane, you know, I heard, you know, around the campfire that you have a Babe Ruth card. I'd love to buy it from you. And I said, well, it's worth $1 million. And you know what, Shane, I appreciate that, but how about if I give you 75,000? And I go, okay, you know, I don't need to hold on to it. I think 75,000 is a good deal. Then that's a good deal, right? It's a supply and demand type thing. The cool thing about brands is there's hundreds, if not thousands, of influencers. So everything is negotiable. There's some companies or some influencers that will do free product, right? There's some of them that will do free product plus some type of an affiliate link, right? Where they're getting some kind of residual sales. There'll be other ones that just want a flat pay per post. But everything is negotiable. So it's very difficult to say you should spend this amount. You have to figure out what you think is going to be fair. So if I go in and say, hey, listen, I want to get to 10 influencers. I have a $10,000 budget. So in theory, I have $1,000 per influencer. What you have to do is go in and figure out those influencers and talk to them and say, what would you usually charge? Well, I charge $250 per post on Instagram, let's say. And so in my mind, I'm thinking I'm getting at least four, right? So I say, how about this? Why don't we do this? I'll go ahead and pay your $1,000. We'll do the four things, but I also want you to do two Instagram stories and I want you to talk about a Snapchat for two times. If I think that's a good deal and that can, you know, move some traction and you think it's a good deal, then it's a good deal. Right. So that's everything is different with everybody. But I think what happens with brands and what they don't realize is these influencers, once the followers start getting high, because that's what brands still look at most of the time, is that they get pitched 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 times, a week.
The influencers.
The influencers do, right? And especially if you're really up there, then you're getting pitched over and over and over, right? So the thing which you have to do as a brand, you have to, first of all, you have to differentiate. So make a nice little catchy subject line, right? You want to get their attention, right? Not just looking to work for you, right? That's just kind of like, okay, I get it, right? Come up with something kind of flashy. But in the email, you're going to tell them, you want to make it a win-win. right? Because influencers are used to people saying, hey, if you post two pictures, I'll send you a shirt, right? And that's kind of like, okay, thanks. So you want me to, A, the reason why you got in contact with an influencer is because you love their content, right? So they probably have a video, they probably have a video guy and a photo person and all this kind of stuff. They have like, it's a business. And you're telling them that you're going to send them a free $20 shirt for two posts when they have costs, right? I mean, there's a reason why you pick that influencer, because they have great content. If they're a lower influencer, what I mean by that, lower followers, and they're doing it themselves, and maybe that makes sense. And maybe they love your brand, and maybe they will do it for free. They'll say, you know what? I love your guys' brand. Why don't we do, you guys send me one shirt a month. I'll do two posts a month, and that's going to be a win-win for everybody.
Let me ask about tracking, because, you know, with Google AdWords, you can track with sponsored ads. You can track. We know what the cost per acquisition is. How do you do that with an influencer that you give $1,000?
Yeah, there's a number of different ways of doing it. You know, the ones that just want a flat paper post, I mean, that's the difficult part is what I would recommend. So this is the thing. If this was my company, this was my brand, and what I do with my clients is there's a number of ways to do it. There's coupon codes, right? So you put, you know, Jennifer 25. So she'll put something out. Hey, this is Jennifer. These are these products by these companies. I've used them for the last few months. Everything's awesome. And I've worked out a deal where you guys, everybody gets 25% off, you know, hurry, whatever. It's going to be gone in 48 hours, whatever the message
is. Are the influencers for the most part saying, use my coupon code, and being upfront saying, I'm getting a commission, I'm getting paid?
They're supposed to, right? FTC says that you're supposed to, right? So the thing is, because they don't want you, like, in theory, fooling the public, right? So, I mean, it's no different than if you had, whatever, Snoop Dogg talking about Toyota on a commercial at the bottom really low and say, Snoop Dogg was paid for this promotion, right? So they want to make sure people aren't being fooled. So you should put this as some kind of a sponsored ad or hashtag ad, hashtag sponsored, something like that. Okay. You can put that in the hashtags. It's, you know, the FTC's, there's always a little bit of gray area with that. But if you put some things like that, you should be safe. The thing is that what you want to do when you have those, like I said, when those people reach out to you and you're trying to develop those type of relationships, the thing is you have the coupon code, right? So you can use something, whatever that is, the thing. But one thing a brand needs to realize is just because you hired Jenny that has 50,000 followers, make it be a frequency deal, right? So you know marketing, right? If I want to go buy a Coca-Cola, what I do is I see a commercial and then I see a banner and I see this. And when I get to the store, I go, man, I feel like drinking a Coca-Cola for some reason, right? Yeah. It's the same thing with influencer marketing. Don't think, you know, 5-6 years ago, you could put up one post and probably make some great money.
Right.
It's a frequency deal, right? So you don't, when you're negotiating with influencers, make sure that there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's a multiple things that they're going to do for a set price, assuming that's how you want to, you know, but just make sure it's a multiple deal. So we have coupon codes, you have an affiliate link, right? So Instagram being the example, there's only one place to put a link, right? So it's a very valuable place. What we use, there's a number of different things you can use, but with that, you can either, A, you can negotiate with the influencer and say, hey, we would like to give you an affiliate link that you put in your bio thing. And we'd like for the next 2 weeks while you promote this product, we'd like for you to have that affiliate link in there so they can put link in bio or something like that, right? So it pushes them up there, but you have to have a contract with that influencer. Make sure they know what they're doing. That's another big thing with this is we have brands.
Where do you find these contracts?
You can look online. We actually have some templates that we use that I'm sure I've shared them on multiple different posts, but they're really just a brief, right? You want a brief of like, hey, these are the hashtags you're going to use. This is the kind of content that influencers have used in the past that have been successful, but give the influencer free reign to do what they want. Just give them basic guidelines. Hey, we're also looking for you not to do anything with our competitors for the next 3 months so that you're not, you know, doing 10 different campaigns about the same types of stuff. Just some basic stuff where you're covering yourself. We want to make sure that our link is in your bio for at least 2 weeks or a month, or once again, everything's negotiable, but you have to talk about those terms ahead of time, and brands don't, because they don't know, right? That's the reason why I always recommend hiring a consultant or somebody to help you with your first few campaigns, because then they can, there's these things where you can lose a lot of money and not know what you're doing. And just soon by hiring an influencer, influencer is going to do what's best for you. Most influencers aren't marketers. They aren't, right? The yoga instructor he's a yoga instructor. He didn't go in and get his marketing degree and say, hey, I'm going to go and try to build this huge community. He just started doing what he does.
So he needs guidelines. He needs guidelines given to him from you on what to do and how to do it.
Yeah, because if not, then you need some direction.
Gotcha. Now, you've talked about Instagram. My kids always are watching videos on Instagram. Occasionally, they snap back and forth, and I don't know how they're ever going to make money on Snapchat, but I'm sure they are. I'm sure they probably are. But what social media outlets are the best options for people that are selling yoga pads if we continue down
there. Yeah. So Instagram is where we've spent a lot of time because it's, you know, it's like that lifestyle. You know, everybody wants to, like, you know, have the pink puppy and be doing yoga and be have the perfect little cute little babies around you and the perfect relationship. And so it's that lifestyle type deal. I'm always on my jet. I'm eating caviar and life's good, right? And then we have YouTube, which obviously is awesome because YouTube is always going to be out there. What I mean by that is, you know, YouTube's the number two search engine. So yeah. We work with an influencer that does a review of a product or talks about your product. They'll go and put that content out there. They have a huge subscribership. Let's say it's 10, 15, 20, 30, 100,000, 1 million. Then that video literally goes out to all those people and then you get those eyeballs on you.
So the software you mentioned before measure engagement on different mediums like YouTube and Instagram, or
it can. Yeah. There's multiple, there's different softwares that do different ones. I think there's one or two that can measure engagement on all those. Or what you can do, what you want to do is you can talk to the influencer and say, hey, part of put this in the brief. I want to make sure that I'm getting all of the inside information on my campaign and how it went and what we did and that kind of thing.
Okay. Okay. So Instagram, number one, YouTube, number two. Is there a third that people should look at, or a fourth or a fifth that you'd consider?
I mean, Snapchat's not bad. And then, Facebook and Twitter, there's some stuff going on there. But really where we spend our time is Instagram and YouTube, just because it's the amount of how many people are on there. I mean, people spend, I don't know what it is, like 55 minutes a day on Instagram. I mean, I think it's after you die, it's like 8 months or something. I mean, it's of your lifetime. I mean, it's crazy, right? And obviously people are spending a lot more time on there. And then YouTube, once again, is always, it's that evergreen content. It's always going to be out there. And people are looking for certain things. If you have I have this thing and this is a brand new patented product and I get somebody to do a review on it on YouTube and they've got a huge subscribership, like my sales could go through the roof because of that, right?
Yeah, we've had a number of transactions over the years where I've had businesses that had huge spikes because of Dr. Oz mentioning a product or the ingredient in the product. Sold one earlier this year. I think all these years are blending together. Earlier this year where it was on one of Oprah's favorite things back in 2012 or 13, and that carried it for a long time. Would you recommend that the audience members that have the yoga mats of the world go after those big influencers or just focus on the smaller ones or maybe a combination of both? Because you might get lucky.
Right. You might get lucky. I mean, it really depends on budget as well, right? So if you're going to go after, Oprah being the example you give of Oprah, like if Oprah talks about your product, then all you have to do is hire somebody to count your money. At that point, right? You physically have to have somebody and give maybe 100,000 and just have them just count the money and just, probably I would organize it through serial numbers just to give them something to do.
I think these people would argue that you also have to scramble to get some inventory to fulfill those orders. Because
that would
exactly
be
what happened.
Yeah. Oprah's not going to promote anything without knowing that you've got some good distribution in place.
Good problem. But that's a free endorsement as well. It was sending product to that influencer. Looking for a free review. And Gail called them one day and then said, hey, you're going to be in this issue. And they were like, oh my God, it's like 2 days from now.
Yeah. So I'll answer your question. So, Oprah obviously being the mega, right, of this whole situation, but there's no reason not to ask bigger influencers. The smaller influencers, smaller following, they're going to be probably more apt because they're hungry and they're just, they're getting started and that kind of stuff. Usually the prices can be a little lower. They're going to be more engaged, stuff like that. But I'm not saying don't shoot for the stars. I'm not saying don't send something to Oprah. If you have a patented product that really takes care of a need that nobody knows about, because you never know. You're saying right there that all of a sudden Gail gave the phone call and said, hey, we love your product. And you're like, you got to be kidding me, right? The thing is nobody's going to knock on your door if you're not out there pushing, right? If you're not out there sending that information to Oprah, whoever, you just never know, right? And so what I would do is I would once again just figure out who your buyer persona is. And if it's Oprah's people, because you have a book that you just read and it's a self-help book and you think that you can really help everybody, you have a different angle, you've got a great, phenomenal story, then pitch Oprah. Go for it. Like, why would you not, right? She's not going to know about people that don't pitch her. But I would also say the smaller influencers are, ones of medium size and all that, go after them as well. Another thing that I always do is, like, let's say I'm a newer company, I go and look up my hashtag. Right. So let's say I'm hashtag, white coffee mug. Right. So great. I go and look that up and that's the name of my company. You might already have influencers in your sphere that love your product. That's a no-brainer, right? Like you go in there, I'm already talking about your product. You don't need to convince me of anything except how much free product I can send you to keep spreading the good word about my product.
Okay, awesome. So for those that are listening again that are trying to sell yoga mats and use the medium influencers, forget the shooting for the stars and Oprah, that type of thing. These people are usually entrepreneurs with, maybe a remote contractor or two or three, a VA here and there. They may take this project on themselves at first and then hire somebody to take it over once they've set up SOPs. What kind of time do you think it would take? If it was me and I'm working 25 hours a week running my business, which, you know, is pretty standard for the types of businesses that we sell, should we focus on a lot, 5 hours a week to get started, 10 hours a week? And what kind of budget would you suggest that somebody starts off with it? Maybe they're doing a couple of million years in annual revenue.
Yeah. So what I would recommend, and once again, I'm not just saying this because I'm a consultant, I would hire a consultant and say, hey, sure, what do we need to do here? Right. Because there's people that have paid me a lot of money for me to learn what I learned, what I know today. Right. I recommend that with anything, not just influencer marketing, with anything. Like, if you want to jump in and do your own PPC, figure out somebody that's a PPC consultant. Yeah. And have them say, listen, I just want to hire you for 5 hours a month or 10 hours a month or whatever. I want to put together my ideas. If you can go in and tighten them up, it'll save you so much money, because as entrepreneurs, we always go, hey, we'll do it ourselves, right? I'm a grown ass man. I'm going to go do this. Like, I can do it. It's not a problem. I'm not going to delegate, because I have at least two more hours in the day. I'm only working 22 hours in the day. I have at least two more hours. Sleep is so overrated. I'm going to do it myself. Okay, that's awesome. Take it on. Not here to squash the dream. But what I am telling you is if you have a consultant that says that helps you along the way, they'll help you with, you know, these potentially save you money, save you a lot of time. And because there's like plans I'll put together for people, and I'll say, listen, now you go hire a VA, or let me show you how to do this, or put the plan in place. And now these people can go and implement it. And then we'll come back after a month. And hey, what problems did you have? Hey, you kind of messed up here. Let's look at the pitch emails you sent. Who responded? Now, what do we respond back to them? Like, that's a person that wants to take it on themselves. We have two ways of working, obviously. One is, hey, we'll do it for you. Like, don't worry about it. You sit back. We're going to just ask you questions. You give us the answers. Or the other way of like, hey, you want to learn, right? And a lot of agencies don't do that. Like, you want to learn because they don't want to give up the secret sauce. I don't have a problem giving up the secret sauce. Like, I want to help you out, and I just want to make sure you're successful.
Well, look, I think what's going to happen is a lot of folks, you know, we give up secret sauce all the time. We help. If you help people, they may say, you know what? I love this. I think it's going to be great. Please do it for me, because they're busy doing other things as well. So I think it's a great idea. Some of the people that are listening may want to give it a go and shoot from the hip and see if anything sticks, which is probably not the greatest idea in the world. Others will hire a consultant to create the campaign, and then they'll run with it or hire the VA. And others may say, look, just please take this on and run with it, and we'll measure results with you. And if it works great, we'll keep going.
Also, we're doing a thing too, is we're actually developing a course as well. We're doing a course for influencers and for brands. So we're in current stages of developing that. So there'll also be an inexpensive option or a cheaper option than hiring myself as a consultant or hiring my company to do everything for them, where they can go in and take a course for whatever, $97 or $300. And they'll go in and they can go through it. And once again, they'll have enough information there to be dangerous, so they don't have to hire me on an hourly basis. Or if they want a bigger project, they can do that as well. But we're developing that curriculum as we speak.
What's your time frame? People are going to go, okay, great. When's it going to be done?
I knew you were going to hold fire, Joe, because I told you about the book earlier. And so now you put me on time. It will be done by the first of the year.
Okay.
That's right. I said it.
When it's done, you make sure I get that link and we'll put it in the show notes of the podcast. Okay.
I can't wait, buddy. I'm by the first. If not by the first, then I'll drop off as an entrepreneur and I'll just go and do something separate that's not online, just because I'll be so ashamed.
61, 71. You've got something like 80 days maybe to get it done. Okay.
Now you're just trying to stress me out, Joe. I mean, come on. I just gave you a date. I mean, I got to go talk to my people and be like, listen, we're going to have to double our staff.
Meditation for that stress. You'll be okay.
You're
an entrepreneur. You thrive on stress. Come on.
I love that. Like, the fact you just told me that, like, secretly, I don't even need any more coffee. Like, I just got these goosebumps on my back that I said, you know what? I'm going to show Joe. I'm going to show him by the first, please, for God's sake.
Yeah. Please do. Shane, I love the influencer marketing approach. So many people focus on one thing. And, you know, when they diversify their revenue streams, their sources of traffic, it de-risks or lowers the risk of the business. And the lower the risk is for the buyer, what happens? The value goes up. So for those that are listening, take a look at it. Take a look at influencer marketing. Hopefully this episode of the Quiet Life Podcast has helped. Shane, tell the people that are listening how they would reach you if they want to talk to you about consulting or talk about maybe you taking over their influencer marketing campaign.
Yeah. So you can reach me at shanebarker.com. That's shanebarker.com. And my personal email is just shane@shanebarker.com. And just email me if you guys have any questions or if you need anything. I'm here to help once again.
And if they want to be an influencer themselves, they can just head on down to UCLA and take your course, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a really cheap course. It's UCLA, right? I mean, it's only one of the top 20, you know, universities in the nation. It's not a problem. Just get a little bit of financial aid. You'll be fine. Talk to your parents.
Must be doing something right if it took you 10 years to graduate and now you're teaching at UCLA. So good for you, man.
I'll tell you. Thank you so much, man.
Appreciate your time. Make sure you give me that link. I'm going to hold you to it.
I'm on it.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Joe. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Quiet Light Podcast. For more resources from this episode, head over to quietlightbrokerage.com. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in iTunes. This helps share the messages from the show with more business owners like you.